Whether you're shopping for grads, getting an early gift for dad, or just looking for a little something new or used for your shelf, you'll find it at HPB. And you'll get almost everything for an extra 20% off during the big sale at Half Price Books this Memorial Day weekend. Saturday, May 25th through Monday, May 27th, save big in-store at your local Half Price Books and at HPB.com. Offer cannot be combined with other coupons. Exclusions apply. To learn more, visit HPB.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The 561st edition of the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pickup for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
One of the MMA Gambling Podcasts and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to our friend Eric Does Bullet Wounds. Thank you for Gumby for the joke that I put in there. If you don't like the joke, then it was Gumby who came up with it. That's a callback for a couple episodes ago. So I am Jeff Chalks Fox. I'll go back to Chalks. I say I'm the Gumby killer, but he sounds like he is dying. So the heat's going to be on me if this man disappears. So maybe I'll just be Chalks for a while. Yeah, Gumby's still sick, surprisingly, since we definitely aren't doing these episodes back to back to back to back, because that would be cheating you people, right? This is another regional episode. You people have demanded it with your comments, with your views and listens, and so we give the people what they want. We are for the people. We're covering furries this week, is from what I hear. It's a furry fighting league. I don't know if this has to do with My Little Pony too or not, but it's a furry. No, fear. There's only one R. I screwed up again. It's Fury. FC 90, I believe, is the. Yes, that's what we're covering this coming weekend. It's happening on Sunday, which will be fun, the Sunday afternoon event. So I'm not doing it by myself. I could, because I'm a topology capper. I'm pretty damn good at it, let me tell you. But let's bring in someone who actually does tape study of these fighters, of these people in furry suits fighting. It would be the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, and this is despite just bad jokes about people's sexual preference. I think this is a fun fight card in terms of people who are good UFC prospects, because I see a couple on here who definitely have the records to do it. There are a couple of people who are like kind of post hype prospects, like Alden Correa and Devin Dixon. I think if you had gone back 3 years ago, people would already expect them to be in the UFC, and they kind of fell on hard times. Not Dixon so much. He only lost one fight, but like they both kind of slipped off from their prospecty status and are sort of trying to gain that back. And then there are a couple other guys who I think will probably make their names known here. So yeah, it's a fun fight card. And they also always have like 700 fights on their cards, which is sort of delightful. It's a little easier to find two or three names I like in the lightning round when they have 81 fights.
Which means the zap, bang, boom. The lightning round is back. I thought I'd tip everyone off last episode before we got the complaints. I thought I would preempt all the complaints and tell people that there wasn't going to be a lightning round last episode, because people would be like, where's the lightning round? There was already two fights we didn't cover for Brave. So yeah, last episode was all about Brave CF. This one's all about Fury fighting. They've got 16 fights, so it's not like six fights like Brave had. So, and this is a pretty sub. We haven't covered Fury for a little while, for a few months at very least, but it's obviously Sunday is a big thing. It's fun that it is on Sunday and it's on UFC Fight Pass, especially during football season. I'm sure it's big for you degens in there. I get some Sunday afternoon MMA action, and it's a pretty solid feeder league for the very least for the contender series, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who've shown up off of Fury, or, you know, sometimes they bounce between Fury and CFFC because they largely, you know, like sort of seem to locate similar demographics and areas and stuff like that. So sometimes you see them in both of those places.
Yep. Fantastic. And Gummy told me that this is a very solid Fury fight card too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Which is what we like to see and hear and listen and win money on. If you want to win some money on baseball, though, obviously we talk a bit of baseball here to the chagrin of some of you listeners and viewers, but the MLB Gambling Podcast is the place to go if you're a hardcore baseball fan or just a degenerate, or probably both, sitting in an office looking for some afternoon action. MLB Gambling Podcast is the place for you. Either way, you're going to want to make sure you subscribe to MLB Gambling Podcast just from Malcolm, just for the laughs that Malcolm delivers at the very least. Subscribe on wherever you get your podcasts, and obviously make sure you do on listen to them and watch them, excuse me, on YouTube and subscribe there. Even though they have more subscribers than us, but they had a head start. We're catching up. We're going to catch up to those MLB people soon enough. All right. Fury FC 90, they've been around for a while. It seems just fairly recently, right, over the last couple of years that they've become more of a household name?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think the Sunday thing helps for sure.
Yeah, UFC Fight Pass doesn't hurt either, of course.
Nope, not at all. It's always nice when you don't have to worry about how you're going to get them.
Exactly. All right, Fury FC 90, Dixon versus Macklin is the event. Houston, Texas is basically... Texas. This is a Texas-based promotion. Most of their events, I don't know of all the events, but most of the events take place in Texas, at least the ones that we jump in on. This is happening Sunday, as we said, this coming Sunday, so that would be May the 12th, 2:30 p.m. Eastern time, UFC Fight Pass. Prelims are on YouTube, so a couple of easy spots for you to catch all the action, which is great. Imogen venues in Houston, Texas, in a cage. Sadly, they are a cage promotion. 16 fights. We're going to break down in full five fights, and then Gumby will, like Zeus, he will strike down the lightning and the thunder, and he will give you a lightning round, and we will give you his quick picks for those fights. Fury, usually we get odds on most books, at least the offshores, right?
Yeah, the offshores for sure, and sometimes they appear on the bigger ones too.
Okay, and it's usually a later in the week thing though, right?
Yeah, definitely so late in the week because it's Sunday. Yeah.
Yep, not yet for us, but this is a way you can win money is if Gumby is really in on someone and then they show up and they're a dog, then, you know, or vice versa, you know, you can make some money off Gumby's opinion as opposed to where the actual line at least opens that. And then we steam it whatever direction we want to steam it, because that's the type of power we have. All right. We're going to a bantamweight fight to kick things off. Brian Mitchell, United States versus Kale Moniz from the US as well. 3 5-minute rounds for this. Moniz, Moniz. 7-2, 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. So he's finished everyone and he's been submitted once. So that means he owes his rounds. 3-1 in Fury. He's won 2 straight and 6 of 7. He's not lost since April of 2022. Hollywood versus money. Fantastic. Mitchell, 7-2, 3 knockouts, 1 submission. These guys have almost identical. Well, they have identical records, almost identical finishing rates as well. He's been submitted once as well. These guys, it's the Spider-Man meme fight. 1-0 in Fury. He's won 4 straight and 6 of 7, just like Moniz, 6 of 7. Won his last fight via TKO. used to fight at featherweight, 1-1 in Cage Warriors, was regional champion, 7 years younger than Moniz, 3 inches taller.
So I think Mitchell's going to come in as a slight favorite. We're probably talking like negative 150, because to your point, the records are fairly similar. We've seen them lose in similar ways. And I also just think people will like Mitchell because he's from Cage Warriors a little bit. And I'll be honest, he's flashier. That's the thing I think people like about him, is that a lot of movement on this guy. We're talking about like one of those guys who bounces up and down all the time. He likes the spinning stuff, which, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say he likes it. He throws it once in a while. But it's a lot of wasted movement, in my opinion. The other thing that, and you maybe you could tell I'm already tipping my hand here, I like Moniz. I think he's a slight dog, probably like -1 or +135. And the reason I like him is because, A, the wasted movement from Mitchell, bouncing all the time, throwing, spinning stuff. And then B, short king. You know, I love fading my short kings. He's like 5'6". Moniz is going to be quite a bit taller here, going to have quite a bit better length. And he's a guy who's like, Mitchell is like basically his striking style seems like it relies on using length. And that's like a bad thing when you don't have any of it. In addition to that, like I really think Moniz, one of the better things about him is he's really smart and really well positioned on the feet. He's literally the opposite. He doesn't waste a lot of movement. He moves forward. He moves his head off the center line. He's got good footwork. He's always got his front foot on the outside of his opponents. When he does throw, it's straight to the target instead of being, you know, the loopier stuff you're going to see out of Mitchell. So while Mitchell might like look more explosive and look scarier and look like he's bouncing all over the place, like Moniz is the one who sort of does more damage in like close range situations. And I think he's just going to keep marching Mitchell down, letting Mitchell overexert himself a whole bunch of times. And let him winging shots. And the other thing is too, is I've seen Mitchell in the later rounds. I'm less impressed with him then, because you can notably tell when he gets tired because he stops bouncing. Like he stops using the like big shots. Like he's almost like gives you a gas tank meter by how much he's moving when you're not touching him. And so like I think Moniz is gonna take advantage of that. So give me Moniz slight dog money here. I'd probably like him right up until like the early negative 100s, like, you know, like in the negative 120, negative 130. I'd love him anywhere in the plus money though.
You think he's going to be about plus 120 maybe around there?
Yeah. I said like plus 125. I think I said. Yeah.
Okay, fine. We'll give you the extra five then. Sure enough. All right. So the money's going on money. Moniz. All right. We are skipping a female fight. I guess Gumby doesn't like female fighters for some reason.
That one, they have no fights on their record. To be
1-1.
I went past the 1-1 female fight to get down to this. Yeah. Like, what is that? 72 and 7-1. You know, like
4-2 and 1-1. Yeah, that's fair enough, Gumby. I'm just joking. Gumby loves all fighters and hates all fighters equally. Nico Echeverry, United States versus Tracy Reeder, United States. 3 5-minute rounds at 155 pounds. Reeder, 7-3, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 2-1 in Fury. It's part of that's over his last 3 fights. He's gone 2-1, obviously. 2-3 over his last 5. Did lose his last fight. He's 8 years younger than Echeverry, 3 inches taller. Echeverry, 12-7 with 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 9-6 with 1 no contest in Fury. Used to be the champion of Fury FC. Since then he's gone 0-2 and 1 no contest, and 1-3, 1 no contest over his last 5. Got knocked out in his last fight, 1-1 in LFA, used to fight at welterweight. So the champ is kind of didn't make it out of Fury, and now he's on his way down, it seems.
Yeah, he's definitely on his way down. And Reeder, you mentioned, is coming off of, you know, 2 losses in his last 4 fights. One of them is to a guy we're going to talk about in a second, Hector Saenz, who I'm pretty high on. You know, not to try to spoil what we're going to talk about next, but a guy I'm pretty high on. And then the other one was to Markel Medeiros, who's in the UFC now. So, like, a really high level of losses for Tracy Reeder. Echeverry, you know, like you said, he was the champ at one point in time, so he's fought high-level guys as well. I think in order to win the fight, Nico Echeverry needs to move forward. That's something he seemingly gets his striking going when he's moving forward. He seems like he has control of the fight as long as he's moving forward. And I just don't think he can do that against Tracy Reeder. The thing about Tracy Reeder is he loves to move forward and he loves to get his wrestling going. In that fight with Hector Saenz, he actually took him down a bunch of times. Like, there are a bunch of times where Tracy Reeder was in good position. And as a matter of fact, when that fight went to the judges' scorecards, I asked myself, is Saenz about to lose this fight because of terrible regional Texas judges, right? Because like Tracy yep. Reeder was in all of the good positions for a lot of that fight. And it was clear to me Hector had done more in terms of damage on the feet and in terms of, you know, he wound up reversing a position in the third round and having a lot of control in the third round. But like, I was curious if they were going to give Reeder the first two because it was close enough. And luckily, you know, cooler heads prevailed and Hector Sinas won the fight the way he should have. But that wrestling from Reeder here, I think it's the big piece that Echeverry is going to have trouble with. So I expect Reeder to come in probably -135 or 175. I think the books know he's the better wrestler here. He's also got a glorious blonde mullet, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, you know, can you put that in a handicap? Probably not, but I'm gonna.
He's got crazy eyes too.
He's got crazy. He's got crazy.
You can definitely put that in the handicap in the fight.
Blonde mullet, crazy eyes, auto pick. Yep. That's yep. a rule. That's why we love Tanner McFadden.
Yes.
So we can love Tracy Reeder for the same reasons. Like I said, I think slight favorite, -175. Echeverry is going to need to move forward and not get countered into the wrestling and not wind up in the clinch. And I think it's hard for him to do all of those things. And I think you're going to see Reeder come out on top.
Fantastic. You can also come out on top if you're using Underdog Fantasy. The NBA playoffs are here, and our sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's tons of fun. Easy app to use. Check it out. They got higher or lower on basically stats on pretty much any stat underneath the sun for whatever sport you're into. A new customer is going to pick up special in the lobby when they sign up. So make sure you always check out today's specials in there. Underdog will also be running a ton of different promos, bonus cash airdrops, specials, giveaways, and more throughout the NBA playoffs. So make sure to follow Underdog Picks. That's at Underdog Picks on Twitter to keep an eye out. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They've also just launched Champions, their player versus player format in Florida. Make sure you sign up with the code MMASGPN, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Underdog Fantasy promo code MMASGPN.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Open the door to big savings with a brand new look with Larson Doors. Now at Menards. Whether you're looking for traditional, modern, or a screen door, Larson Storm Doors are perfect to enjoy the fresh spring air. They come in over 40 styles of storm doors to choose from. Check out all Larson Storm Door options in store and find more great deals in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, we are moving on to a sticking with lightweight, actually. Hector Sinas versus Manshur Kira, both from the United States of America. Kira is the Punjabi Prince, which was Gumby's nickname in high school as well. Kira 6-0 with 5 submissions, 2-0 in Fury, won his last fight via submission. Used to fight at featherweight, 1-0 in bare knuckle, fighting 2-5-1 as a pro grappler. 2-inch taller than Sinas. Sinas 7-1, 1 knockout, 3 submissions, never been finished in a fight. All those fights have taken place in Fury. He's won 3 straight, and he is 4 years younger than Kara. I changed the pronunciation of both their names as I was moving through that. Go ahead.
I think Sainz is going to come in here as a pretty big dog. I'm going to say plus 200, and I'm going to pick him anyway. Kara's got a fair amount of hype behind him being 6-0, you know, coming off that submission win. You know, people know him as a submission guy because he does so many submission tournaments and whatnot. But then also, you know, having the bare-knuckle boxing background, like he seems like he's the real deal. Here's the only problem I have with that is we just watched Hector Sainz fight in a fight against a really good wrestler. I think Tracy Reeder is a great wrestler. And what we saw in that was he scrambled every single time. He never accepted the position. He forced Reeder to work the whole time. And then at the end of that fight, it was Sainz who had the gas tank left. Sainz has got an incredible cardio that he weaponizes. If you try to wear him out with the wrestling, you are going to get tired before he does. And in addition to that, when he's on the feet, he forces you to fight a brawl. He's going to brawl you, and if you want to brawl back, that's pretty much your only course of, or, you know, recourse here, because he's going to have a brawl, and you're invited. And so for me, I really like that against Kara, because if you watch Kara, he's more of a plodding guy in the feet. He moves forward very slowly. He's very selective in the shots. I like his footwork. I like all the things that he does in that style, but I don't like that style against Hector Sainz's style of striking. You know, because I think Hector Sainz is, first of all, he's going to be the one landing harder shots. He's probably going to be the one throwing more. And in a lot of cases, you worry that's going to make the guy tired, especially if he winds up getting wrestled for a part of it. But with him, I just don't worry about that. So I think despite the hype that's behind Kara, I'm going to go with Hector Sainz here. I think probably dog money here on him is going to be pretty good.
All right. You said it was going to be a pretty big dog too, did you not?
Yeah, I think plus 200 probably.
Fantastic. All right. We like to hear that. All right. Let's go to a co-main event. Alden Correa versus Justin Longoria. This is all U.S. versus the U.S. on this card that we're covering here. Longoria, Bustin is the nickname. B-U-S-T-I-N. Instead of Justin. Fantastic. He's 4-0. Bustin Justin Longoria. He's 4-0-1. Two knockouts, one submission. Never 4-0 in Fury. He's won 4 straight fights. 3 years younger than Correa. Correa, Cobra Correa. Both have fun nicknames. Rhyming nicknames at the very least. Correa, 7-3. Two knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted once. 2-1 in Fury. 5-2 in LFA. He's won 2 out of his last 3. And only 2 of his last 5. Did lose his last fight. Used to fight at bantamweight, 2 inches taller than Longoria.
Yeah, so I think Correa probably a favorite here, despite his recent bad run. As I mentioned before, he was a guy who's now, I would consider, like, post-prospect. You know, like, a lot of people were hyped on him 5 fights ago. Then he lost 2 in a row, and he lost his last fight. And people are kind of off him now. I think they're going to be off him, but his name persists enough in that prospect sphere that I think he still winds up like negative 125 here to like a plus 105 for Longoria. And I'm going to take Correa here. I think for me, Longoria just kind of like winds up on his strikes a little bit too much for me. If you watch him strike, you kind of know what's coming before it comes. In Correa, the thing that has always been good about him is his ability to move. You know, like he not just, I don't just mean like stick and move, but like just not be there when a big strike is coming. And sometimes it's just getting out of there. You know, like it's just not being in an exchange that he doesn't need to be in. You know, if Longoria comes forward and wants to brawl, which I kind of think he sort of has to do in a lot of his fights, sometimes Alden Correa will just choose, okay, you go ahead and do that. I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to hit you with a kick when you're done with your exchange. Because that's the thing about Correa is he's rangier. He works from distance. He likes, you know, similar to like I was just talking about with Brian Mitchell, he likes some of the flashier stuff. And in the past, that's cost him against guys who are particularly good wrestlers or particularly technical strikers have found times where he was off balance and punished him for it. I think Longoria is none of those things. You know, like I don't particularly rate his wrestling really high. I don't particularly rate his technical striking high. He is a fun brawler. He's got good power. I just think Correa is going to pick him apart in that way. So give me Alden Correa here, a slight favorite.
All right. We shall accept it. Cobra Correa is a pick. All right. Main event time. 3 5-minute rounds at lightweight. Devin Dixon, Tedrick Macklin. Macklin, T-Money, obviously is the nickname. He's 6-0, 1 knockout, 4 submissions. 5 of those fights have taken place in Fury. He won his last fight via submission. Used to fight at welterweight, an inch taller than Dixon. Dixon, 6-1-1. Two knockouts, three submissions. He's submitted once. 1-0 in Fury. He's won two straight fights, both via submission. 0-1 in LFA. Used to fight at welterweight. That's all I got.
So I think this is probably going to be a pick-em. Because like I said before, with Korea, Dixon is kind of like one of those post-hype prospects here that we're talking about. A guy who people were talking about a lot more three fights ago than they are talking about now. He's obviously fallen off a little bit less than Korea has. And Tedrick Macklin, maybe a little bit more hype than Longoria is too. He's 6-0. Obviously that bodes pretty well for him here. So I think this is probably going to be a pick-em. I'm going to say like -110 on both sides. And really the dynamics of this fight are really interesting for me because Devin Dixon is a guy who I think when he's on the feet, it's not that his striking is bad, but his defensive striking is like kind of questionable. He's like very hittable, which is obviously not something you want at lightweight. That's usually a division that's got tons of big heavy punchers. He seems kind of hittable. He's right there after his combinations are over. The thing that kind of makes up for it for him is that he's a great wrestler. Not just in terms of his ability to get to your hips and his ability to put you on the mat, but his ability to keep you there is really great. Both in how he takes your back if you try to get up sloppy, or you know, how he forces you back to the mat if you try to, you know, scramble or things like that. Like he is a really, really good wrestler. I love what he does on the mat. And he's one of those guys who trains down at Killcliff. So like he's got a billion training partners down there, very high level and stuff like that. For Macklin, I do like his takedown defense quite a bit, which obviously bodes well for fighting a guy like Devin Dixon. The thing that I worry about, though, is that while he stops takedowns pretty well once people are in on them, they get in on them exceptionally easy. Like, he's a guy who the takedown is already halfway over before he starts defending it. And against the level of competition he's typically fought, that's fine. He can handle that. He winds up stuffing the takedown at the end. Against Devin Dixon, I don't know that that works. Like, he needs to be preemptively getting the underhook. He needs to preemptively be stuffing the face away. He can't just be the guy who, once he's in on your hips, you try to stuff the head between the legs and stuff like that. Because he's good at that. But I just think against a higher level wrestler, and as he gets further and further forward, Macklin is going to have trouble with that. And I think Devin Dixon is that step forward. Now, on the same token, you know, I talked about Devin Dixon being limited in his striking defense. Macklin clearly has an advantage there. Way more tools on the feet. He throws more a more diverse set of strikes. I think he's a touch faster than Dixon. So I think all of those things bode well in Macklin's favor. I think all the grappling things bode well in Dixon's favor. I'm ultimately going to go with Dixon here. I think the big piece for me, like I said, is that Macklin lets the takedown get in on him before he stuffs it. And against Dixon, I think that that's too much. I think you're giving him an out so he doesn't have to worry about his bad defensive striking, because he's going to be in on a takedown all day. And even if he winds up getting stalled there for 3 minutes against the cage, that's 3 minutes he's not getting pieced up on the feet. So give me Devin Dixon, probably pick him.
All right. We shall haven't concluded with that. Let me recap and then we will give you some more picks. He's got Dixon. He's got Korea. He has got Sainz. He has got Reader. He has got Moniz. Moniz. All right, time for the lightning round. Gumby, anyone you enjoy or any lines you're looking forward to seeing on the rest of the card?
Yeah, so there's a couple of fights that I like on this one in terms of the lightning round. I'm just going to take two. The first one I'm going to mention is Nick Lancaster. You know, last week at LFA, when we did the lightning round, I mentioned a couple of names, Gabby Fujimoto and Natalia Alves. I said if either of them come in south of -250, they're great lines. I believe one came in at -180, one came in at -230. Both of them, you know, looked very good in the cage, did exactly what they needed to. He's another guy who I'm going to say, if he's south of -250, he's at least parlay fuel. If not, you can make the straight up play on him. He's a bull. You're not going to find many guys in this division as strong as Nick Lancaster. You know, like, is everything all rounded out the way that it needs to be skill wise yet? No, not yet. But like, does it really need to be when you're fighting on the Fury prelims? No, I don't think so. So like, I think if he comes in at -225, -200, that's a line to steam up before he becomes like a -400 favorite. Cause I think that's really where he belongs. Another name I'm going to mention here, who you know, maybe the theme of Fury here for us has been guys who used to be hyped or guys who people, you know, wanted to throw their weight behind a long time ago. And the name I'm going to give you is Dimas Chapa. Dimas Chapa was a guy who, when he was in his amateur career, I'm not sure there were many, you know, other than the IMMAF guys, I'm not sure there are many amateurs who are getting more hyped than Chapa was, because, I mean, he was finishing people all kinds of different ways. He's exciting. He's fun to watch. His pro career has kind of been a massive letdown. He's 3-3 in his pro career. He's lost some really ugly ones. I think all three of his losses are rear naked choke losses, which obviously begs so many questions. And in this fight, he's getting a 2-0 prospect, which I think is a perfect recipe to see Dimas Chapa at a big plus money, right? Like, that's when, you know, you see a 3-3 guy up against a 2-0 guy, you're like, oh, the promotion's doing the 2-0 guy a favor. I almost think the promotion's doing the 3-3 guy a favor here, because Dimas Chapa has so much potential, and it seems like he's wasted a little bit of it in this early part of his career. But he also wouldn't surprise me as a guy who rattles off 5, 6, 7 wins in a row. We're talking about him 10-3 on Contender Series a couple years down the road. And you look back at his record and you're like, oh, he was 3-3 at a point. What a wild time that must have been. You know, like I said, he's got a lot of skills on the feet. He's very exciting. Obviously, he's had some issues with his submission defense, but, like, you know, he knows that, seemingly. And I don't know too much about his opponent here, but I do think Chapa probably going to be a massive dog that's worth a swing.
All right. There you go. Lightning round is concluded. Thank you for listening and or watching the show. We'll be in the Discord hanging out there if you have more questions. But Fury or anything else, or you want to chat, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, Twitter, SGPN MMA. He's Gumby Vreeland. I'm a Jeff Fox writer there and on Instagram. Obviously, our YouTube, make sure you subscribe there. You can reach us in the comments there as well. What else? My Substack is moneymma.substack.com. Get in there, subscribe, play my pick'em contest that I'm running for this week's UFC and pretty much every UFC event. Gumby has got Top Turtle MMA podcast. Who is on it this week? Gumby Vreeland.
We're talking to the Baby Shark, Tabitha Ricci, as well as Billy Goff.
There you go. Make sure you listen to that. And of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We'll be back tomorrow. No days off until Friday, Saturday. Tomorrow, UFC time. Once again, it will be busting Gumby Vreeland and T-Money Jeff Fox. And we shall talk to you then. Bye-bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Save big money on everything for your next project. Now at Menards. Spring is here, meaning time for outdoor projects. Cabot Australian Timber Oil is perfect for decks, siding, and outdoor furniture while providing maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency. Save big money on Cabot exterior stains to get your staining project started today. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.